Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Aki and Jacob are here. How are you two doing?
I'm alive, and I'm doing good. I had rallies today, so...
And Jacob, you?
I'm whatever.
He's standard. It's fun.
I don't give a shit.
Why don't you give a shit? What's wrong, Jacob?
He has no balls. That's
well, neither do you.
Well, yeah, but I didn't have mine surgically removed like a dog.
Well, what? Oh, how did yours get taken off?
Weed whacker.
Yes, the great weed whacking incident.
Wrestling gone wild.
My.
Oh my God, Coltrane is jumping all over me today. We got a new couch for my office, and Coltrane still insists on jumping all over me during the shows.
Well,
where'd you get the couch from?
Whatever the place in Nescapec is.
I don't know. You have to tell us.
Like, I don't know. Whatever the fucking name in Nescapec. I don't remember what. No one on this planet knows what the fuck Nescapec is.
I unfortunately do.
You don't count.
Well, yeah, but I still
do. He's used to that.
Just
he doesn't count.
Shitty local
anything.
Furniture store. Well, they're not shitty. They're pretty good. But local furniture store. We just got a new couch.
Okay.
At least I have more to talk about than you two. Jesus Christ.
Hey, I have news to talk about. I'm just waiting for us to get fucking into it.
Fine. Let's fucking get into it. What news do you have?
Fine. Aki? Let's go.
Yeah, let's fucking go. Let's fucking go, bro.
Let's go, bro. Let's
come
go
on, bro. This, bro. Come on, bro. Come on, let's bro. Fucking do this, bro.
Fine. We'll fucking do the news, bro.
Fucking do this, bro. Fucking come on, bro. Good. Aki, come on, bro. What's up, bro? Come on, fucking come on, bro.
You two need to get a room. Jesus.
Been there, done that.
No, we just prefer to do it in front of everyone.
Oh, so I can't even make any money off the movie then. Fuck, y'all are... whatever.
Well, you live stream it first. You live stream. That's how you make the money, Aki. Jesus, fucking amateur hour here.
I like how we're giving her the first opportunity for news, and she's wasting it by talking about
us
fucking.
I don't want to go first. I want real news to go first.
First.
No, you always, Aki, you always want to go first, because otherwise it's sloppy seconds, thirds, fourths. Ugh.
All right. Well,
the news
is I'm really sorry to everyone in Idaho because it's a shitty place, and I'm sorry, everybody. And this has nothing to do with video games. I just be safe, everybody, because they've decided to dictate that it's illegal to help trans kids get any help with being trans. They've made it illegal. And not only that, if you're caught trying to help the kid, it's life in prison.
What?
And if you, and if you leave the state to get them help, even if you fucking move, because Idaho's a piece of fucking shit, that's still illegal.
Yeah, that's not going to hold up. That's just straight up unconstitutional.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how exactly they're going to fucking manage that, because if you move out of state for any fucking reason, they can fuck right off. But, like, they're trying to get a hold of everyone's records for it, and Florida's trying to pass a bill. I don't know if they've passed it yet or not, which is very
Florida
much...
Florida Senate passed it on Tuesday. The bill in Idaho that you're talking about has passed their House. It still has to go to the Senate and then obviously be signed by the governor.
I thought on Tuesday or Wednesday it had passed by a decent margin.
Reading an article from today. It passed the House. Idaho's passed. It passed Idaho's House today.
God, I first it was Texas, then it was Idaho and Florida. So, you know, hey, we're all going back to the age of the fucking dinosaurs. Maybe. But, and hey, to all the people who live on these states, just to remind you, Twitter has a lot of useful information thanks to the Russian-Ukraine thing. I'm just saying. go look it up. You know, just don't damage your local, you know, mom and pop stores or the local Target or anything. They have nothing to do with this. But, you know, hey, there are things called, you know, city county buildings and courthouses, you know, stuff like that. I'm just throwing that out there. Not endorsing anything. I'm just
don't vandalize saying. Things.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put that out there. Don't we'll vandalize do things. That's bad. You should.
But it's
do
good
that.
Praxis.
Yeah. Good practice for firebombs. Anyways.
No, praxis, not practice.
Oh.
Jesus.
I prefer mine.
I mean, good praxis is good practice, but, whatever.
That was my first bit of news. And then the second one, which was much more lighthearted and actually has to do with video games. They did an update for Haven. I don't know if any of you remember that, but I reviewed it for here last year, and it was fantastic, and it was so cute. It made me cry because it was that adorable.
Haven, the game where it's like it's the guy and the girl, and they like crash land on a planet, right?
Yes, that game.
Yeah.
They just put an update out just sexy. This week that allows you to play as same-sex couples.
That's neat.
Yeah, so that I thought that was really awesome. I haven't played it yet, but I know you can make both of them guys and both of them girls. I assume you can flip the sex of the two that already exist if you're like, well, I want to be a white guy dating a black girl instead of a white girl dating a black guy. I assume you can probably do that too. It wouldn't make sense not to. But yeah. So that was really awesome, and I'm really excited to play the game. It is installing right now.
Yeah, it's really good. I get what you mean, because yeah, you already reviewed it.
Yeah,
I was just like,
replay. I love the game.
Yeah, had that actually been released last year, it would have been a serious contender for Game of the Year for me.
I think that probably would have been my game of the year. I love that game.
That Spiritfarer were like the two games that could have. That could have easily dethroned, Hot Wheels.
You're the only one who talks about Hot Wheels when it comes to Game of the Year discussion. Yeah, that's still hilarious to me.
That's because everyone else slept on it.
Well, yeah, that I've all just assumed it was a game for kids.
I mean, I thought it was a good racing game, but I don't know. I'm having more fun with Grid than I did with Hot Wheels.
What about Forza?
Forza was just amazing. That's not even fair to like compare it because Hot Wheels is track based and Forza is open world.
Ah, okay. So one's fun, the other isn't. Okay.
No, Forza's fun as well.
I don't like tracks at all.
Rude.
Yeah, no, I don't like tracks. I don't particularly like racing games, but when I do, I prefer them to be more open world. So
fair.
But yeah, that's all the news. Other than I finally broke down and I watched Sonic like I promised I would. I finally did watch it.
Oh, and your thoughts?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Someone's excited for the sequel.
Not really.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not going to say no to it.
See? You're excited.
That's not excitement. That's apathy. There's a difference.
Okay, so should we get to the actual news then?
We've talked to you for a few years now. We know that your apathy voice is your excited voice. The only thing that makes it more exciting is when you sigh during conversations.
I really wish this wasn't true. God damn it. Apathy is my excited. You are true. I hate it.
All right. So in real world news, everybody on the fucking planet has stopped dealing with Russia, and it is good. Pretty cool. I'm just going to go down the list here. Microsoft has suspended all new sales in Russia. EA has suspended sales of EA titles to Russia and Belarus and removed Russia from FIFA 22. PlayStation pulled Gran Turismo 7 from release and suspended software and hardware sales in Russia. CD Projekt suspended all sales to Belarus and Russia. Nintendo eShop payments have been suspended in Russia, and they have also delayed the release of Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp to an unknown date Epic is stopping commerce with Russia. Activision Blizzard suspended sales in Russia, and Ubisoft has stopped all sales to Russia. So
has Coca-Cola.
Yep. I was Coca-Cola focusing on game companies. Games. You dork.
I don't care about that.
McDonald's shut down too. I wasn't going to mention them.
Yeah, if you're here for soda talk, you're on the wrong fucking day.
I didn't know that McDonald's did anything.
Yeah, they're pulling out of Russia.
They finally shut down their restaurants.
Interesting. Oh well. Oh no. Someone
did the math. Apparently, the ruble is worth less than a sheet of toilet paper.
Yeah, it takes. I watched a YouTube video of someone who actually lives in Russia, and they showed during that video, they showed it, and it was like 150 something rubles for $1. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, last week, Roblox dollars were worth more.
So, yeah.
I feel really bad for the citizens of that country. Jesus, that sucks.
Well, so here's what I'm kind of curious about, because like, if I remember correctly, sometimes you is out of Russia, aren't they?
Hmm?
Isn't sometimes you out of Russia? I thought they were.
I don't
think. Or they deal a lot with Russian
they,
devs?
They do, yes, yeah.
They have lots of Russian devs.
So, like, what happens there? Like,
I don't know.
Is it like a label, like sometimes you just not going to release games for like the next like whatever? Like, how does that work? Like, I mean, I get not having hardware sales, but does that mean that like Microsoft's just suddenly not going to let them release anything on the systems now? Or
I don't know. But anyone who makes foreign money has to convert 80% of it into rubles, because the country has run out of foreign currencies and they're trying to build it back up. So 80% of their money has to be converted. I feel so bad for them. Jeez. The following day, it's going to be worth even less. Fuck.
Yeah. I know, the team at Zetalon, they're based in Ukraine and they're shutting things down for a little bit until they're able to get back to work. But
hopefully,
yeah, it's going to be weird, because I know Radleika and Chili Dog, they both deal with a lot of Russian developers as well. And it's just it sucks for them.
Yeah,
it really does. It's like when we were under our fucking dictatorship for 4 years. Now shit's just getting crazy overseas, and I don't know. Let's talk about happier things. The Sony State of Play event happened, and they unveiled a lot of new games. To the dismay of Sony fans, there weren't a lot of exclusives that were shown off, surprisingly.
Oh, thank fuck. Okay, now I'm kind of excited for this.
Yeah, there weren't that many exclusives shown. It was actually quite surprising how after the show, I was getting emails for a bunch of the games that were released, and then it's like, this is on Xbox and Steam, this is on Xbox, Switch, and Steam, this is on Xbox and Steam, this is on Switch and Steam. And I don't know what the point of Sony's State of Play event was, except to show off new multi-platform games.
I mean, realistically speaking, that's usually what it is for Microsoft, too. They usually show a bunch of indies that are on fucking everything, too, so...
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like when Microsoft and Nintendo show stuff, they show a lot more exclusive stuff than non-exclusive. And Sony was just like, this is on everything. But they started off with a new game from Capcom called Exo Primal, which is an online co-op multiplayer. You have to let me get it out before you stop caring.
No, I don't. I really don't.
It features a dinosaur invasion. So like,
but it's not Dino Crisis.
No, it's not Dino Crisis. There's dinosaurs and a girl with red hair, but it's not Dino Crisis.
Ooh. Well, I do like dinosaurs and I do like redheads.
The trailer was cool because it would show portals opening up and dinosaurs just spewing out of it. It looked interesting. I'm curious to see more about it. Exo Primal. It's coming out 2023 for PS4 and PS5. And then it is also hitting Xbox and Steam. It looks interesting. I'm curious to see more.
I'm going to look this up because I do like dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are pretty bitchin'.
Yeah, they showed off a new trailer for Ghostwire Tokyo, which is coming out March 25th. So that's right around the corner.
Is that exclusive or is that for everywhere?
A year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of excited for that, and then I thought it was just pure exclusive. I was like, no,
expected on Xbox Game Pass next March.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that.
It's a Bethesda game. That's going to be coming to Xbox. I mean, why wouldn't it?
I didn't actually know that was made by them.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's a Bethesda game.
Wow. Okay, then. That's...
Yeah. They showed off a new trailer for Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origins, new demo released that day, and just new demo out and available also on Xbox with progress carrying over to the full game. So if you were interested in checking out Stranger of Paradise, give the demo a shot and see if you like it.
Okay. I'm still waiting for fucking Final Fantasy VII Remake to come. I still really want to fucking play that. If they could finally get off their asses and give us that, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Probably not that I'd say no to Rising 2 gets made, you know.
Yeah. I wouldn't complain about playing this, but I really want to fucking finally play Final Fantasy VII.
Hopefully one day.
I never played the original even, so...
Something else you probably won't play is Forspoken, which got a gameplay trailer that got delayed to October 11th.
That is a pure exclusive, though, isn't it?
2 years at least, I think they said.
Oh, I thought that was made by
Square Enix. Square Enix, and I think Luminous Productions is the developer.
Oh, I thought Sony was for that one.
Nope.
That's why I thought it was going to be a 100% forever. Okay, well, if that ever comes out on something I can play it on, I'm totally getting that.
I think it's coming out on PC as well.
I might get that for my PC, even though it can't run it. I don't care. I really like ever since that first trailer where the main character finally talked, she sounds so fucking cool. I love her.
All you care about is the girl.
Well, there's dragons in it too, and that's pretty awesome. I like dragons. My house is filled with dragon statues. I like dragons too. But yes, her and dragons were the only two reasons I really care for that.
All right, well, after that, they showed off a trailer for Gundam Evolution, multiplayer shooter coming spring 2022. They confirmed it for PS4 and PS5. I didn't see anything else on the game. It's possible it's coming to other platforms, but I didn't find anything on it.
If it's not, that's fine. It's a multiplayer shooter. Man, they had me for a second.
Next game got me fucking excited. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection, coming 2022 to PS4 and PS5 from Konami, also hitting Xbox, Switch, and PC. Going to be $40, and it includes 13 Ninja Turtle games from arcade, NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis, and Game Boy.
Is it too early to put in a review request?
Shut up. It includes Ninja Turtles Arcade, Turtles in Time Arcade, Ninja Turtles for NES, Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game for NES, Ninja Turtles 3, the Manhattan Project for NES, Tournament Fighters for NES, Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time for Super Nintendo, Tournament Fighters for Super Nintendo, Tournament Fighters for Genesis, the Hyperstone Heist for Genesis, and then Ninja Turtles 1, 2, and 3, all for Game Boy.
I was just saying, I meant like sending an email over to Konami.
Yeah, I'm not emailing until there's a fucking release date, and it's not like we get stuff from them anyway.
Shh, we can dream.
Shut up. They showed off a game called Giga Bash, which is a kaiju brawler coming to PS4 and PS5 later this year. Don't know much more about that. I don't know. It didn't do anything for me.
I'm looking all these things up on Steam.
Something that we will be able to play, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R, is coming early fall 2022 to PS4, PS5, also hitting Xbox, Switch, and PC, and it's going to have 50 characters in it.
Cool, I guess.
For fans of the anime, hooray. Yay.
Yay. Trek to Yomi was shown off. It is black and white samurai game coming from Flying Wild Hog and Devolver. It's going to be releasing to PS4, PS5, and also hitting Xbox and PC. That one looked pretty good. I thought it looked really solid. The fact that it's all black and white has me really intrigued. Because normally games like that, like the blood will be red or they'll have accented color somewhere. But on the trailer, it was just completely black and white.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for this. I just don't know how well I'll be able to do with it with the seizures and stuff. I don't know how safe this will be, but man.
It didn't look like it had a lot of flashing in it. It's just only black and white.
Yeah, the black and white, when anything moves too fast in it, it can screw you up. Like, I'm watching some of the fights in here that are in enclosed areas, and if those get to be, like, a bunch of people at once or anything, I'm going to be so screwed. But, man, this looks so good. I really want this. Regardless, seizures or not, I want this. This looks so good. This reminds me of all the old samurai films that I loved growing up. Oh, I want this so bad.
You know, I mean, maybe a video game isn't worth the seizures.
That's funny.
I don't know how to. Worth the potential hospital trip?
Some games aren't worth the seizure. Trek to Yomi would be. That fly game that I played that gave me like 3 seizures, that was not. This is worth it.
Like,
how do you know?
Out of curiosity, like, would your health insurance like be like, yo, you said this on a podcast, we're not covering this?
I don't know. But they don't need to know, so it's fine.
Well, I'm too lazy to edit, so the evidence is here. Next game they showed off was Returnal Ascension, a 2-player co-op mode coming to Returnal March 22nd, free update. So that's cool.
Nice. That game
looks free updates are always cool.
Indeed. One of the few true exclusives, because it's a Sony first-party game.
Yeah.
But next game they showed off was called the Dio Field Chronicle. It is like squad-based tactical, like XCOM meets Final Fantasy Tactics. It looks incredible. Like, visually, the game is stunning. Gameplay-wise, I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. It is coming 2022 to PS4 and PS5, later confirmed for Xbox, Switch, and PC as well. So it's hitting everything. Looks unique. Either sure. Of you see anything on it or no?
Nope.
No, nothing. No. Helpful. Final game they showed.
What game we were talking about, so.
The Dio Field Chronicle. I said it like 15 seconds ago.
She has the attention span of a goldfish. What do you expect?
It's a unless there's chunk, a, thank you very
unless
much.
Unless there's a big titty goth girl in front of her, but, might as well not exist.
Damn it, I've already forgotten the name of it again, because
now you're like thinking about big titty goth girls.
All I remember is Dio Field.
Chronicle. Final game that they showed off during the State of Play was Valkyrie Elysium. Action hack and slash game coming to PS4, PS5, and Steam in 2022. From what I hear, Tri-Ace, the Valkyrie developers, are not involved in this game, so it's a new developer. And the character has that stupid anime running with like the arms out to the sides as they run around in the game.
Naruto like running.
That. Yeah. What is with that running? Why, like, what does it do? It
became popular from Naruto. It's, all right. They're gotta go
like,
fast.
I would just like to point this out. Ugh. Two fat guys and a woman who's completely blind. You're asking us, like, what is up with people running that way? The three of us don't run.
I mean, I will point out I was track and field in school, but...
But did you anime run?
Oh, God, no. That is so inefficient, and you're more likely to hurt yourself than anything if you do that. Anime running is one of the worst things you can do if you run. You are so likely to hurt yourself because putting yourself forward like that, because they always lean all the way fucking forward when they're doing it too. You are so likely to trip because you're so off fucking center. You cannot run like that. You will literally fall on your face. You will hurt yourself. Do not do it, please, I beg you. Or if you have the inclination to do it, please do it a lot and maybe your brain damage will go away by getting hit on the head a few times.
Send videos to the SML podcast at gmail.com. Yes. Our favorites might get a free game.
Yeah, that Naruto running. I hate that. I wish Naruto didn't exist, but I really wish that run didn't.
Oh, well, it does. So you're stuck with it. That was the State of Play. That was their whole event. It was 20 minutes long. That's it.
It changed my life.
And like nothing was exclusive. Returnal.
Yeah. That's the one I really would have preferred not being exclusive because that game looks so good.
Tough shit. You got to buy a PlayStation for that one.
That's too expensive.
get your ass out on the corner. Don't worry.
No, oh, God.
Ain't no one going to pay for this.
Oh, man. The Halo Infinite co-op mode will not make the May 3rd season 2 start date and will be delayed. They say they hope for it to be out later in the season, but this is getting stupid. I just want to play Halo Infinite, and I don't play Halo solo.
I don't tend to play it solo either, so I'm right there with you. Like and one of their multiplayer achievements has been broken since day one.
Has it?
Because there's one for getting revives in a certain game mode that doesn't fucking exist and has never existed the entire time the game's been out.
Nice.
Yeah, that is one of the most annoying fucking things. So irritating.
Yeah, you know what else is irritating? It's irritating. Jacob? Well, besides that, it's irritating when developers cancel their games. And Frontier Developments announced they are canceling all future development on the console versions of Elite Dangerous to focus solely on the PC version.
I thought that was kind of weird.
I don't even know what that game is. So
yeah, so all development on Elite Dangerous for console, including the long delayed expansion, not happening on console. They've just completely scrapped it. Drew Van Camp, there's a console version? Yeah.
It exists. I briefly considered getting it too, and now I just won't.
Yeah.
What kind of game is this even?
Like space stuff.
Oh, okay. No wonder I don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
I don't do spaceship travel games. No.
Yeah. Last bit of news I have is GTA 5 and GTA Online are launching for the Series X and S and PS5 on March 15th. So next week it will be out. Pricing has been revealed. It will be $9.99 on the PS5 for 3 months and then $39.99. GTA Online is free at launch and then $20 after. It'll be $19.99 on Xbox for 3 months and then $39.99. GTA Online will be $9.99 at launch and then $19.99 after.
Honestly, it just needs to fuck off and go away. They're doing with this what them fuckers did with Skyrim, and I'm so goddamn tired of hearing about it already.
Well, you're gonna hear about it for another generation.
Probably another two, maybe even three. As long as they can keep selling those fucking shark cards, this piece of shit game will never fuck off and die.
That's not a piece of shit game. It's a great game. It's just do something new. Like, give us new single player content. I don't give a shit about GTA Online. I never will.
Originally, there was going to be single player
content. I know, content, and they canceled and it to focus on GTA Online.
Yeah, they realized how much money they could fleece out of everybody and decided to go that route instead. I fucking hate this game.
Oh,
everything it's
you hate for. Everything. Everything. Like,
not everything, just most things.
Yeah, you do.
No, I like
every subject that comes up ends with Aki going, I don't care, I hate this game, fuck this game anyway.
Hey, I like Forsaken, thank you, and there was nothing negative about that. I want that game really bad. And Trek to Yomi, so I don't get that, even if it was a seizure-ific game.
And you'll probably never get Forspoken.
Probably not, no. But, when it comes to Steam, I'll probably buy it once it's on sale, even though I don't know if I'll ever be able to play it, but I will fucking have it.
I don't know, but yeah, that's the news I have. Jacob, what do you got?
Well, let me bring up my window again.
You're so prepared.
Shut up. So I found out what's wrong with my Skype account. Microsoft suddenly decided that the old Skype accounts, which is what I've been working off of, now also have to be Microsoft accounts. Like, they decided this back in like 2018, but now they're like really enforcing it. And so because both my old Skype account and my Microsoft account share the same phone number, they think somebody's trying to hijack one of the accounts. And so it's just like, I tried claiming my regular Microsoft account, and then so it kicks off Skype. And then when I hop into Skype, I'm like, no, this is my phone number. And then it kicks out the Microsoft account. So now I have to fucking figure out how to merge the two. But, you know, I could just try turning it off and turning it back on, Rocky. I could try that.
It works.
Yes, I'm sure it will definitely work for this.
It probably will. I mean, it is Skype. Skype's a broken piece of shit.
Anyway.
The hatred in your voice as you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, in chat, when she's like, turn it off and turn it on again.
No one on the show
will understand the joy that I felt when I was reading that and I just see JFC.
I'm not going to lie. It was just like, Aki had said dumb things to me before, but that was insultingly dumb.
It works, though. That every time I have an issue with this piece of shit, that's what I do. I just close it out and I open it again, and it works every time. God.
All right, Jacob, come on. What's your news?
All right, so Super Nintendo World is officially opening up at Universal Studios Hollywood in 2023. The website Inside the Magic has noted that there are going to be some differences between the Los Angeles park and the one that's over in Osaka. Mostly due to the reduced space that's available. Bowser's Castle is going to be far more prominent, although it doesn't really seem like construction has really started on the roller coaster, but I don't know. Anyway, the other one that's going to be in Florida is going to be opening up in 2025, and the Donkey Kong expansion has been confirmed to be opening up at Universal Studios Japan in 2024.
Ooh.
Boosting the size of the whole park by 70%, and a new roller coaster.
Wow, that's a big addition.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, Skype. I swear to fucking God. No, it's like, please enter the password for your account. And I'm like, fuck you. You know what? I'll turn it off and turn it back on. I'm sure that'll fix it.
I mean, it's working right now, so...
Anyway, so LEGO has accidentally leaked, and now they've confirmed it. There will be a Peach electronic toy, and Princess Peach's castle set will be coming out in August for the LEGO Super Mario line.
Nice.
Nice.
That castle actually looks kind of cool. I don't know if I'd want to buy it. I have no idea how much... Oh, wait.
A lot. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot.
$129.
Oh, that's it? I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's kind of low.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm still like, I don't know if that's $130 worth.
It's never worth it, but you're paying for the brand name, so.
I bet Tim has it pre-ordered.
Most likely.
He has the other Lego ones. He loves Legos. Or sorry, Lego. It's not plural.
And in Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie news this week, there is no news.
Woohoo!
Cool. So we're going.
The only thing I could find was some clickbait.
What was the clickbait? Did it promise you bigger dick or something?
No, it was just like, oh, changes on Tails' plane might, you know, hint at story changes to come. And it's really just the fact that they're pointing out that, Tails' plane has 761 on it, and like they're trying to say that that's the speed of sound or something like that. But they also say it might be, they're saying like the speed of sound is roughly 761 miles an hour, and I don't believe it actually is. So, anyway,
cool.
Of sound.
Oh, you're looking it up.
Just double checking that. Ah, shit. It's 767. So
those sons of bitches.
Yeah, so I don't know. We might find out in the new movie what it stands for. Wouldn't that be exciting?
That'd be great if it was 767 and they just did the number wrong on the article. But in the movie, it's a 7.
No, I've seen other people point this out too. It's just a slow day at Screen Rant and they want the clicks.
Oh, nice. Dicks. Cool. Well, it's a slow day here, so let's get to reviews. Ready?
Yeah, I guess.
Sure. I'm totally not playing a video game right now.
Well, you have time. So first game to talk about is Aztec Forgotten Gods, developed and published by Lienzo, released March 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Aztec Forgotten Gods is a Cyberstone action-adventure following Octli, a young woman who battles the colossal Forgotten Gods to uncover the truth behind her far future Mesoamerican metropolis. She'll have to turn the gods' power against them as she soars through the city with power and grace using an ancient artifact, remnant of a time long forgotten. Jacob, what is Aztec Forgotten Gods?
I have a question already.
What? Oh my god, what?
Is this like Shadow of the Colossus?
No.
Okay, then I don't care.
Anyway, so, you know, the artifact of a time long forgotten, it's really just Hellboy's Fist of Doom.
Well, that's kind of cool.
That's what it looks like. So pretty much the game is more along the lines of late 90s Tomb Raider meets like the open world sections of like Sonic Adventure, like those kind of games. Also from like late 90s, early 2000s. And pretty much what it is that you are this girl who starts going through these like ancient temple areas. And the game has a tutorial, thankfully, but of course, is it a helpful tutorial? Not really. And in fact, I thought I was going to have Joe email the devs to like tell me what to do next, because I'm just like, I can't figure out what to do. And then I was just button mashing with random things and found out that your fist, which kind of lets you glide through the air and stuff like that, if you push another button while you're doing it, it acts as like a jetpack and shoots you up, and that's how you're supposed to solve it. But of course the game doesn't tell you that. There's nothing leading towards this. So if you're dumb and you get stuck in the tutorial like me, that's what you do.
Proud of you.
Thank you. So anyways, so you're running through and it's just you have to beat up various demons, creatures, whatever you want to call them, powers, you know, get introduced as you go through the game, and you're uncovering this like huge conspiracy against like something. The plot was not the strongest point of this game. I will say this, it is a blast to play. Like once you get used to the janky, camera.
What's the gameplay like?
So as I said, it's like, it plays like a late 90s Tomb Raider, like in terms of movement and like running around and stuff like that. So it's, I don't know if I'd call it like an action platformer, but it kind of is. I mean, it's definitely like a 3D action game. Very retro styled, including like during cutscenes where they use the character models and the mouths don't move, and the dialogue is all printed on the screen, and you get a lot of from the different characters.
I don't mind that with a game, because I read faster than voice acting, so just give me a and let me read the next thing.
I do, but I kind of wish that they had used more than like three sounds for every single person, because it was a lot of
that's fair.
Like it got grating after a little
bit. You need more Tim Allen in there.
My first one was awful, but I'm not gonna go back anyway. But once you gain the ability to like start soaring through the land, and once you understand how it works, it gets really fun real quick. But at the same time, there is like no real map for the game, and on top of it, the game does not really do a good job of telling you where you need to go next. So you really just have to float around a lot and like wait until you finally see this huge beacon that's like shooting out of the sky. But most of the time it's obscured by like other buildings, like other, like the geography of the map. So it gets frustrating, but at the same time, I was having a lot of fun like floating all over the land. So it's, I don't know. I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean,
is it like open world or is it more linear?
So it's linear. Well, yes, and it's more linear than it is open world, but there is stuff to do in between. So I guess you would say it is open world.
Like a hybrid, I guess.
Yeah, it didn't. The thing is, it didn't feel open world. But like there was like little side stuff you could do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a guided experience.
Yeah. And it's just, so honestly, like my main complaints with it are really just the camera, which after a while you're going to get used to it. It just, the camera's not great. And also just like how hard it was to find stuff. Because like, you know, you can have that beacon of light shooting all the way up into the sky, but if you're going to have everything else blocking it and not make it clear, like that's where it is. That's, I don't know. It just like it felt more frustrating than anything. But that being said, honestly, I had a blast with it. And if you're a fan of retro games, especially games from that time period, I definitely recommend checking it out. I liked it. For $30, I thought it was a little steep. Cheap-ass Jacob would have been more cool with like $20, $25. But for $30, I'm not going to bitch.
So your official verdict, your official thoughts at $30?
I'll give it a buy it.
Cool. Works for me. Had my eyes on this one. I like Lienzo. I like their other games, so hopefully this one turns out pretty good. Next game is Young Souls, developed by 1P2P, published by the Arcade Crew, released March 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Young Souls is a gorgeous 2D brawler meets story-rich action RPG. Fight hordes of belligerent goblins, level up with hundreds of weapons and accessories, explore and journey between worlds as rebellious twins battle their way to save their foster father. Jacob, what's going on in Young Souls?
So the game starts with like an epilogue first, and then it tries to like Tarantino it, you know. So now you're back at the beginning, and you get to see how everything, you know, went to hell. And you play as these two orphan children who they are taken care of by their foster dad, who is known as the Professor. And the Professor has, without going into the plot too much, the Professor has been keeping like an uneasy alliance between the humans who live, you know, above ground, and the goblins or orcs or whatever they are, who have been living below ground. He's been helping keep an uneasy alliance going, but then like the goblins, I think they are goblins. They just recently had a regime change, and so now they're just like, yo, fuck humans. We want them dead. And so they all come up top, and you and your sibling have to put a stop to them. The fights in this game are great. It's a solid beat 'em up. I will say this. I found it to be a tad hard, even on, I would say it felt more difficult on single player than it did co-op. So if you have somebody who's willing to sit on the couch with your ass, then I would recommend doing it through co-op. I mean, single player is not too bad either. It's just there's definitely more difficulty to it, even on the easier settings.
Yeah, games like this usually do work better with a friend.
But that being said, so it's just you go from one area to the next. It's like a standard beat 'em up. And at the end of the day, your points can be distributed to different stuff like health, your strength, that kind of stuff. And you just go through the game, and you just have a really freaking solid beat 'em up. Like, I mean, that's all that there is to it. Now, the game does have language to it, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend like little kids checking this out, although I think there is a filter for it.
Yeah, it is M-rated, so that, you know, parents got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, for a beat 'em up though, it is a surprisingly coherent and mature storyline. I was really surprised by that. So that being said, honestly, if you're looking for a good beat 'em up nowadays, this one is definitely worth your time, worth checking out. There is, as I said, there is some difficulty with it, but you've got beautiful art, great gameplay, and a surprisingly good story to go to boot with it.
How's the music in it?
I honestly, I I don't really recall it.
Yeah. Because I know beat 'em ups usually live and die on having some bitchin' music with it. Streets of Rage, obviously, being a prime example.
I don't really recall it, but the thing is that usually I play these games with this downtown turned down like a tad low because I usually only get to play games when the kids are asleep. Mm-hmm. So I keep the sound down. So that's not necessarily a knock on the game. It's just it may just not have registered because of my low volume.
No, a big bright side for this one is that it is also available on Xbox Game Pass.
Nice.
So if people are on the fence with this one, they could give it a try there. Otherwise, it's $24.99. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely worth it. Definitely. I'll have to think about whether this is a quarter one contender for game of the year. It could be. But it's a very strong game, I will say that. And I highly recommend it.
Cool. All right, next up is Time Loader, developed by Flasm, published by Meta Publishing, released March 10th on Xbox One, Series X, and S, $14.99. Helming a small robot, you'll travel back to the 90s to prevent a tragic accident, explore the house of your creator, solve brain-teasing puzzles, acquire unique and powerful upgrades, and see common household items from an entirely new perspective. But remember, meddling with time has serious consequences. You may succeed in changing the past, but can you deal with the results of your actions? Jacob, did you kill baby Hitler in this?
You do not kill baby Hitler as far as I'm aware. So what happens is that in the past, this inventor, when he was a small boy, he fell off his treehouse and ended up becoming paralyzed from the waist down. And he just becomes obsessed with this idea of like sending like a robot back in time to help him like prevent this thing from happening, because he figures, oh, well, if I just remove that toy car from the equation, then I'm good, you know, like, cause then I'll never be playing with it up in the treehouse, and then I won't do that. Like, you know, I won't fall off, everything will be gravy and I'll be good. So you play as the, mentioned robot, that gets sent back in time, and you just have to navigate different stuff in the house. It feels very much like a 90s Super Nintendo platformer. In that, I recall playing a bunch of these kind of games with it, and it seems like that kind of like retro styled game. Now, of course, the graphics are not, the gameplay is more so than what was available on the Super Nintendo, but it really has that kind of vibe to it for me.
Like, what game would you compare it to?
I'm trying to think of like some of the platformers. It's just like, it reminded me of like a lot of like the movie licensed ones, like, that Robin Williams movie Toys. And like, I mean, this Home will Alone. Seem like a slap of like, yeah, like Home Alone, Home Improvement. If you remember that one, tying that back in, but also it's, you know, so it's, you just end up having to like figure out your way through your house, which is essentially like a maze. And you just have to get from point A to point B. Now your robot has this claw that you can use to grab onto stuff. Now it can grab onto objects, but it can also like grab onto like parts of a table. And so you can move the robot like a swing. The arm can also move down so you can get under like really tight areas. And so a lot of the times you're just going to have to stop and think about like the environment that's around you and like how you can use this to make it so you can get to the next area. That being said, exploration is a really, you really should be doing it in this game. You don't have to, but it's recommended because there are all sorts of neat stuff. Like there are some secret achievements, and there are some objects that will help you if you get them. Now, of course, as I said, you're not obligated to get them, but it'll help your ass out later on as you move through it.
Are they like upgrades really or just it. Like bonus collectibles?
They help towards upgrading, but a lot of the time it's just bonus stuff.
Gotcha.
So, so that being said, crap, I was going to go somewhere with this.
Oh, no, you weren't.
Storyline. Yes, shut up. Yes, I was. So anyways, after the first area, you're like, okay, sweet. I have the car. I'm going to get rid of it. And then so you get rid of it, and then you find out, oh, no, time is still going to go the same way because now the kid is going to, like, his kite gets stuck on top of the treehouse, and then he's going to grab it, and then he gets electrocuted, and then he falls off. Oh, no. And then it's just like,
it is a final destination. You can't outrun death.
Like, so it's a constant stream of this, and it, I don't want to say like it, like you're just like, okay. I part of me like would have appreciated no story instead. And it's just like, yeah, you're a robot. You have to like get from point A to point B in the house. Like, yeah, man, whatever. But the story, like, I mean, I get it. I can relate to it. Cause I mean, we've all been there where we're just like, oh man, if I could just like change that one thing. But then of course you also have to deal with, like, what, you know, how would it not, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be a good thing. That being said, I thought it was a very fun platformer, challenging. The difficulty ramps up a little quick on it, but honestly, I thought it was fun and it, like, challenging but relaxing at the same time. I never, like, you never feel like you're in, like, major amounts of danger. Like, it's never like, you know, oh well, if you don't do this in like 5 seconds you're gonna die. It's just get it done, just get from point A to point B, take your time, kind of stuff. Well,
it's,
so
it's $15. What are your thoughts?
15, absolutely. That's a solid price for a solid game. I'll tell you what, I'd even be willing to pay 20 for it.
Shut up. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. I honestly thought it was going to be $20.
You liar. I don't listen
to your opening stuff.
Well, at least you admit that you don't listen to me. One final game for you to talk about is called Splash Cars, developed by Paper Bunker and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released March 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $6.99. Bring color to a boring gray world as you drive your heart out and leave a brilliant trail of paint in your wake. Splash Cars is an isometric 3D driving game where you'll race for freedom of expression, outrunning the authorities and inspiring other public servants to join your cause. Jacob, what's going on in Splash Cars?
So, before I go into a lengthy explanation of how I don't actually listen to Joe, first off, I just want to say, do not sleep on this game. Don't. All right. So anyways, back to about how I don't listen to Joe. So, Joe had asked me, hey, do you want to review this game, Splash Cars? And I looked at the cover art, and I'm just like, oh, all right. So it's going to be like another like 3D racer game that, you know, I standard play and, you know, usually suck at. But it has a gimmick of paint. Okay, whatever. Yeah, fuck it, I'll play it. Okay. So, much to my surprise, when I finally load it up, and it is an isometric, like what, 2.5D game. And it's, first off, it's not a racer.
Nope.
you're pretty much just put into this little map. And you drive your car around, and the more you drive it around, you're painting everything. And as you drive along the roads, you can enlist the help of other cars that are on the roads, which if you get to them, they will start painting the roads for you. But if you haven't gotten their help, then they're actually going to take away whatever paint is already on the roads. So you need to get their help as soon as possible. Your car has this gas tank, which is only full so much. And of course, as you run around the track, or not the track, but the map, you're going to run out of gas. And there's these little green gas can things, which will help keep you going. You can also collect coins, which then help you unlock stuff, whether it is new power-ups, like being able to freeze the cop cars and stuff like that, or if it's just like you collect 2.5% more coins every time or whatever, stuff like that,
or buy new cars.
Right, and buy new cars, because I did that too. And sometimes you can buy cars like as like an early access, like there's a car that costs like 666 points, but if you just wait till like, I think that said like chapter 5, you can unlock it or something like that. I don't know, but I haven't earned that many points yet or coins yet. Anyway, so each map is slightly different, and it's just you tooling around Just driving around, painting up the map in like a Splatoon-like kind of fashion and enlisting the help of everyone and trying to avoid the cops. The cops will damage your car, and if your car gets too damaged, you obviously can't go. But they'll also just be dicks and block your way. So you got to be quick with your car, too. That being said, I'm glad I got to review this game, even though I was a dumbass and didn't actually like look at what I was doing. This game is a lot of fun. It is, like, because honestly, I booted it up and I looked at like the map and I was just like, shit, what did I get myself into? I hate these kind of games. No, this game.
Yeah, this is not a racing game. I think a lot of people are going to be turned off thinking it's a racing game, and it's more like Da Blob.
Yeah, honestly, get
this Da Blob with a car.
It's a lot of fun, and I highly recommend it. As I said, don't sleep on it. Get it.
Yeah, I'm going to back you up on this one. I picked this one up because it's only $7. I thought it looked pretty cute. I was expecting a racing game as well. And when it started up and there's no other cars that you have to race. You just drive around the little city, you know, bumping into houses to paint them and coloring the road.
You don't have to bump into them.
I know, but you usually just end up bumping into them because the controls aren't the greatest in this.
But I think that's also like kind of the point of
it. It is part of the charm, but the controls. I found myself like holding the bumper down and going in circles, trying to get one goddamn coin that I just keep circling around.
I had plenty of those moments too. Those were difficult, but at the same time, I was just like, I'm running out of gas. I got to keep going.
Yeah. So. Just make sure that you don't pick up all the gas cans at the start. Leave some for later on in the run when you need fuel, and don't, you got to play smart. Got to play smart. But $7, your official verdict.
Cheap ass Jacob would easily pay $12 for this. I'm dead serious.
Why 12? Yeah. Like what made you stop at 12?
I don't know if I'd pay 15. Remember, I'm cheap ass Jacob. Like
fair, yeah. I paid $7 and I thought it was worth it, so I can agree. Yeah, this one gets a buy.
Great deal for this game,
and like, it's on honestly, sale.
It's a lot of fun, and as I said, don't fucking sleep on this game.
Yeah, like, it's on sale for the first I think week or so for $5.59. So
holy shit, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh man, like yeah. All right, you guys really have no excuse then.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for you.
Woo.
Yeah, only an hour with you tonight. That's fun.
Oh, thank God. Anymore, I would have had to charge you for another hour. You're like, as if I pay.
I know. Cheap-ass Joe Cam says you're not worth the second hour.
You bitch.
You filthy whore. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
I could say Farfanugan again.
Nothing from Aki? No, nothing?
She's probably not even listening and is asleep.
Aki, wake up. Aki.
What? I'm not asleep. I'm playing video games. I've already stated that.
He said Farfanugan.
Well, fuck you, Jake.
Love you too.
All right, we got to move on. Next game to talk about is Submerged Hidden Depths, developed and published by Uppercut Games, released March 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Submerged Hidden Depths is a non-combat, third-person, relaxploration adventure set in the sunken ruins of a beautiful world. Take on the role of Miku and Taku, one cursed with a mysterious power that she wants to use for good, the other determined to not let it tear them apart. Aki, what's going on in Submerged Hidden Depths?
All right. This is a continuation of the original Submerged game. You still play as the same young girl, and she looks significantly more cartoony this time. Her brother has grown up and looks nothing like he originally did whatsoever. And they have been cast off because of the gift that she was given at the end of the first game. I don't know how or why she got the gift, but whatever. She was originally infected by the mass, is what it's apparently called, as stated in this game, because they actually use words in this game. It's a fucking miracle. They have language. Not the characters, but the game narrates for you occasionally. So that's a big plus. You can follow the story. It's not just weird pictures that mean nothing. And so they've been cast out from village after village, and now she's determined to make a home for them, which is going to end pretty quickly considering there's just the two of them and their siblings. At least I hope that's the end of it. Who knows? So yeah, in this, she is trying to heal the mass because it's gone black instead of its usual vibrant green. The mass is just this plant life that has pretty much taken over the entire fucking planet. And, when it's black, apparently that's really, really bad. This was not a thing in the first game at all. So this is all brand new stuff. Yay. So you find this little dome and where you and your brother are going to live together happily ever after, I guess. And the area immediately surrounding it has another 9 different areas that each have their own little black mass congregate that you have to fix. And it just tells the story of them through cutscenes after each one of the places you fix. It gives you a little bit more story of what brought the two of them to where they are, as well as you can find fragments of stories. And when you get 4 fragments, it gives you that little chunk of story of what happened to the people who originally lived here, who mucked around with this stuff and pissed it off, apparently. So yeah, other than that, it's still, you know, it has very basic semi-platforming to it. It's mostly go around, collect things, enjoy it. It's pretty.
That's a very good looking game.
Yeah, it's cartoony, but it's very beautiful.
Yeah, Uppercut knocks it out of the park visually in all their games.
Yeah, especially their Secreters. Because in both games, the first one and this one, you go around and you fill in a book by looking at the various creatures that exist. There's always some flying birds and lots of sea critters to look around at. And in the first game, they all seemed to be real animals that were slightly infected with mass. So you could see like plant life on them and stuff, like mold growing on them and whatnot. In this game, the mass has taken over to such a degree that it has left what is called apparently echoes, which are complete plant life based on other creatures. So in this one, all the sea creatures, when they pop out and you see them, they're all plants. So you see plant dolphins and stuff. It is so cool. The animals are so awesome looking. I love them. You also see, you know, echo humans, but they don't actually move around. They're just like kind of ghosts of the past, really, that show a few seconds of their life, and that's it, right before they died. So, yay.
Yeah, good stuff.
Really, yeah, it's super, super fun. In this, not only do you collect the stories and the pictures of all the animals, you can also collect gear, and there's 9 pieces of gear in each one of the nine different locations. And when you obtain all 9 pieces in that location, you unlock either a new hairstyle, a new clothing style, or a new boat that you can use. So there's some customization, and they're really pretty. And I stuck with the formal wear, the braids, and the yacht. For the people who play it, they'll get that reference eventually, because those look the cutest. Anyways, so yeah, that's it. There's not a lot to talk about with this game. It's pretty quick. You can beat it in a few hours.
Well, it's sitting at $30. What are your thoughts?
That is very hard to go for. I would have said 15 or 20. I'd be more comfortable with saying, yeah, go get this, because it is a very short game. It's beautiful, but it is very short, and there's no replay value whatsoever. There is post-game if you like need to go find more of the collectibles, but that's it. There's nothing new added or anything. So it's very hard to recommend. It's on like a 30. Yeah, I would say get it on a sale when it's like 15, 20 bucks. Then I say totally worth it. 30 is that's a bit expensive for what you're getting here, though.
Well, if people are curious about the genre and want to try the first game is on sale on Xbox right now for $2.
Yeah, and it goes on sale on Xbox pretty often.
$2! It goes on
sale on Steam, too, pretty often. So,
it's normally $20. It's $2 if you don't have the first game. $2 and you don't buy it, you should be slapped, because it's...
Yeah, this is a continuation of that story as well. So yeah, definitely go get it. It's also a beautiful game, so yeah, go do it. Go play both.
Go play the first one, and then if you like it, grab the second.
Yeah, very much so.
Cool. Next up is Far Changing Tides, developed by Okamotive, published by Frontier Foundry, released March 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass, an atmospheric vehicle adventure that follows the emotional journey of a boy in a ship as he embarks on a voyage to find a new home, sail stormy waters, dive unknown depths, and explore forgotten ruins in a beautifully realized flooded world. A lot of water in this episode, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Matter of fact, there's water in yet another game that I'm doing today, too. you don't expect there to be, but there is. Oh, God, how do I even explain Far? Far, I did not finish because I got stuck in an area and I haven't been able to figure out how to get the fuck out of it, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty late into the game. You can beat this one in a couple hours as well, mostly because there's an achievement for beating it in like under 2 hours and 15 minutes, which probably means it takes 2 hours and 10 minutes or something to beat if you do it perfectly. Because they never do and 15 minutes unless it is fucking pushing it. But yeah, in this, you play as some kid, I think. I have no idea how old they're supposed to be. And you find a ship, and now you're floating down the water on it, trying to get to, I have no fucking clue. you just kind of get in a boat and you fucking go. It's not their boat. They just find it and they, Grand Theft Auto that bitch and book it. you don't meet any other people on there. There's no language to speak of. You just cruise. You just have fun. It just forever goes right. I guess it can go left as well if you really want to go backwards, but there's no point to that. And at first, all you have is the ability to go based on just how fast the wind blows, the sails, but eventually you get upgrades for the boat as you continue further and further to the right, eventually giving you the ability to, you know, use an engine and it moves oars for you, a submarine piece. You get stuff where you can pick things up with the back of the boat, like a tugboat, stuff like that. All the while you're trying not to let damage happen to the boat. Cause if you slam into things often enough, pieces of the machinery that help you go stop working. And thankfully it gives you lots of little, canisters of like oil that you just walk up to something and you dump it on it and bam, it's fixed. Very nice. I wish that it was like that in real life. And you just go. So that's mostly what you're doing. In order to use the submarine's rotors or the oars, you have to find stuff to burn, which isn't too hard to do for most of the game. Where I am, I think I've burnt all of it, and I probably need it to continue with my luck because I'm stupid. Anyways, but yeah, basically what you're doing is you're just trying to get it to where you can continue to the right is really what you're doing throughout this whole game. Because there are many times where, you know, this wall or junk or debris or some other shit will be in the way and you can't get by it. And you have to get out of the boat and go and figure out how to get rid of all this bullshit. Half the time it leads to an upgrade to the boat to make things easier, which is great. And they're all just little simple puzzles, like go flick this switch. The end. Now get back to your boat. Have fun. So it's very simple stuff for the most part. There are some areas where you have to navigate underwater and get through places, and that's where I've gotten stuck, is in one of those areas, because I don't know where the fuck to go now, because I am, what's the word? I believe stupid is the word. Yes, stupid. I'm stupid. But yeah, it's a very chill game. Because even if you're like crashing into fucking everything, you get more than enough fix-alls, is what I'm going to call that oil, to fix everything. So it's fine. Like I've used one thing up and I've gotten like three. So I accidentally used one as fuel for the fire, which you're not supposed to do. Don't do that, folks. Don't do that. So, yeah, there's a lot of miscellaneous little achievements in this game, too, that I've probably missed a lot of because there's no guide yet. but, yeah, it's just a chillax little game.
No, it's $20. What are your thoughts?
I am so for this. If this is what the first game is, I am sad I didn't get the first game. I honestly was not expecting to have as much fun with this as I have. Because I thought this was going to be a lot of like what's the term where you have to pay attention to every fucking thing and you have to go and do everything like, oh, you need to go a little faster. Okay, well, you need to go into this room, do this, and then now you have to go into another room and do something else. And I thought that's all the game was going to end up being, but it's not. And I am so for this now. That was nice. A real bad explanation. I know.
Yeah, it was. God. But for the people who are on the fence, it is on Game Pass.
Yes, it is. Play it. You will enjoy it. It is chill game. I promise. It's fun.
Cool. All right. Well, next up is The Last Cube, developed and published by Improx Games, released March 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Venture into the desolate cube world where you'll discover 3D puzzles in diverse, colorful environments. As The Last Cube, you must prove your worth and save your dying home. What the hell's going on? I did not expect the whole savior dying home in a cube puzzle game. What's going on in this?
I have no fucking clue. This game is hard. This game is... I thought this was just going to be a simple little fucking puzzle. This is so fucking hard. In this, you play seemingly as an AI-controlled cube, and you just flip side over side over side. But through this, you land on bits of platform that have a symbol on it that gets etched into that side, whatever landed on it. And you can get it on every side of the cube if you can figure out how to fucking position yourself to get it on every side of the cube. And what you're trying to do is get to another thing, like whatever stamped your cube in the first place, but it's of a slightly different color. That's where you're supposed to put the stamp, so you have to land with it down on that cube, and it is very fucking hard to do. Very, very hard to do.
I'll say, I'm just looking at screenshots of this game, and I'm like getting panic attacks by like how complex this game looks.
At first I was like, oh, this isn't gonna be too hard, it's just a puzzle. The fact that it's a cube makes it so much harder than I was really expecting this to be. so much harder. And the worst thing is, it doesn't even just stop with making it that hard to do. Eventually, you get water. You weren't expecting water in this bitch, were you?
No, you were not. Not at all.
If you roll through water, any of the faces that touch the water, the fucking stamp that was on that face disappears. And you have to go through these bodies of water, so you have to manage your way to get it onto the sides of it, to where it's rolling, obviously, over and over, with those two ends never touching the water. Instead, the other four ends are touching the water, and going through it, and then finding a way to get them to roll around until they land on the fucking thing that you need to push the stamp into, and it gets difficult. Eventually, they give you a nice little ability, and it's eventually, I mean, it's pretty early on, where as long as the stamp is facing up, you can rotate it around on the x-axis, I guess, so that point always stays in the air, but it's just rotating it. That way, if you have it on multiple places and you're going through water, you can get it to where it lands on the same area constantly so that you're not losing all your stamps on every side. Again, it's very hard to explain it. It's very easy to understand if you're watching a video. Explain it, and it's such a fucking pain in the ass. just by the mechanics of looking at a fucking dice, at a die. Eventually you get to where you have to have multiple stamps that you have to go through, and water still is a fucking problem. It gets very hard, by like the third level, I was already like, I am having so much trouble with this game.
Oh, jeez.
And that is just the easy levels still. There's four easy levels. And before I was finished with that, I was like, this is really, really hard. I don't think I can do this.
Yeah, one of the bullet points says, don't expect an easy journey. There are riddles in the dark.
Yeah, those riddles are, hey, stomp your ass. and lots of the achievements aren't actually for just beating these. Lots of the achievements are for the challenge modes, which you unlock after you beat the level. You can go into it, and there's either beat it in X amount of time or beat it in X amount of moves. And I'm never going to 100% this game, because I really don't think I can do it. I have enough trouble just beating the fucking level. I'm not beating it in time and in an X amount of moves. So if you're into hard games and you like puzzles that are like, here, let me just grab a hammer and start bashing my own face in, then you're going to love this game. If you don't, then I would not touch this, because this hurt my head.
Oh, geez. Well, it's $20. What's your official verdict?
I say pass, because this is not my kind of game, and I don't think it's going to be most people's kinds of games. It's not bad, it's just, it's
hard.
I will not have a guide for this, never.
no, you're going to make the guide.
Oh god, no, I cannot make the guide. I don't even know if I'd be able to follow a fucking guide for this, Carnage, to be honest, because it's so complex, and my brain is not made for that. I'm made to be dumb. Very dumb.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called The Moose Man, developed by Morteshka, published by Sometimes You, releasing March 16th on Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $6.99. You are the Moose Man, and you have the ability to see all that is hidden to the mortal eye. You are about to visit three layers of this universe. The first one is the lower world, where the dead reside. Aki, what's going on?
This is a Russian mythology game. I believe, I'm pretty sure it's Russian, and you play as the titular Moose Man, a guy who walks between the spirit world and the not spirit world, and it is set mostly in snow, so more water. Haha, yes.
All four my games for four water. On water games, what?
Yep, yep. Matter of fact, you even go underwater for a chunk of this game, too. I did review this back when it was on the 360?
No, it was just on Xbox One.
Oh, okay. On the standard Xbox One, then.
And supposedly there's going to be a 50% discount for people who own the original version on either Xbox One or PS4, but for some reason it's not showing up yet. I have the Xbox One version, but the Series X version is still showing like full normal price, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
Hopefully they fix that. This game, you can be, you've heard this twice before. You can beat this in a couple hours. and I mean, you can beat this and get every achievement in a couple hours. It is almost every achievement in this game is either for continuing through the levels or for collecting the collectibles. And there are walkthroughs all over the fucking place for it. Nothing, sadly, was changed between the Xbox One version and the Series version, which is kind of sad. I was hoping they'd add something to it, but no, it's just straight port. And this is mostly just scroll to the right, the game. For some of the collectibles, you have to solve puzzles that don't make any fucking sense, and I don't know how people found the collectible in the first place, because sometimes it's like, yeah, just move left and right really quick while flicking off your mask off and on. Your mask is how you see the spirit world. And that, and then suddenly poo in this one location. Just do that and this collectible will fall out of the sky. And it's like, how did anyone fucking figure that out? Because there is nothing that hints at this shit. Some of the puzzles it at least hints at, because you'll see a drawing with arrows on it. And somewhere close by, you need to do stuff that involves going those directions in that order. But sometimes it's just like, just move really, really fast back and forth at this one specific location. It's like, nothing tells you to do that other than just being a jittery fuck. And I'm not one. So the story is screw right, basically. Occasionally you get a lady with a lovely voice, I might add, who speaks about the mythology of the Moose Man. Not that any of it makes any fucking sense whatsoever. But I think it's supposed to chronicle the mythology a little bit. Not much, maybe. I'm not really sure. Because again, the story and what's happening in the game don't seem to have a big correlation. But it's a pretty game, and it's... Yeah, sometimes you move left. Carnage is right. Sometimes you move left, but yeah, it's mostly right. Yeah. But yeah.
Did you miss the pun there that he did?
Sometimes you. No, yeah. I got it. Okay. Just I don't. Yeah, sometimes I don't. You.
Yeah.
Yeah. I refuse. I refuse to acknowledge his fucking puns because that fair. Encourages him.
That is fair.
He doesn't need the encouragement, but still, it encourages him, and I refuse to do that. Fuck you. Fuck you, Scotty. I'm not encouraging you.
You encourage people to buy this for $7?
Yeah. It's a pretty easy 100% completion. And again, I like the mythology either from the woman talking, from the random shit you see on screen, or from all the collectibles that also tell you different bits of mythology. I really like stuff like that. So I'm all for this. And for all the achievement whores out there, it's very simple, very quick to 100%. So go for it.
Nice.
If you're cool. An uncultured swine, I guess you don't go for it, but whatever.
And hopefully they get that pricing situation figured out. I'm not sure why it's not showing for me the right price, but it should be half off if you own the original on Xbox One. So there you go.
Get it cool. On both.
That is it for this episode. Made it through another one. Thanks to you for being here, and thanks to Jacob for being here, I guess. I don't know. Fucking put up with you two.
Guess what?
What?
After 70 hours of playing Elix 2, I finally reached them in the level 40s, and it isn't a drag to kill things anymore.
Oh, yeah. You said you got further in the game. Did you want to give an update on that?
Yeah, yeah, that's about how long it takes before you really start to feel good in combat. It takes about 70 fucking hours. You have to be around the high level 30s and put a lot of points into strength. Then you can wield weapons that actually do fucking damage. And by that point, hopefully you have some armor that doesn't get you one shot by bigger creatures. Now I can finally kill all the big things.
Nice.
I haven't found anything that's killed me in a while. And it's pretty awesome.
Cool beans.
This game is going to take people forever. Because
I know it's an RPG. They're supposed to take forever.
No.
In my days, RPGs took forever, and they were intended to.
Yeah, this doesn't take forever for that with achievements. This, like, every one of your little skill trees, you have to finish all the stuff in it. In order to get an achievement for each one of them gives you a fucking achievement. And there, so you have to level up a lot. And there's even stuff where you can make potions that can give you more learning points or what they're called. So you can learn more skills. So you get one when you level up, but you can also make these potions and drink them and get more of them. There are so many. I've effectively, with all these potions, leveled up to like 80, and I'm still getting fucking... I still need to get more fucking skills to finish these fucking trees, because each one of them has a fucking achievement for it. And then each faction you can join has an achievement for it, as well as not joining a faction. So this is a, here, save here, and then go do all this stuff and then revert to the save and then go to this next area and do all this stuff. I've effectively put about 90 hours into this game, but my save only has 70 something and your cat is climbing stuff in the background.
Yep. Hi, Peanut.
So, yeah, that's this Peanut. Game is going to take... Hi, Peanut. Don't fall off the couch.
She's so cute.
He looks so unsteady up there. So
she has wobbly cat syndrome, so she's normally very shaky like that. Cerebellar hypoplasia, something like that. It's the common name is wobbly cat syndrome.
Huh.
But she shakes. And her brother does the same thing, and he's wobbly too, and
oh, poor kitties.
Yeah, but she has a normal life, and we love her, and now she's climbing couches, which is pretty cool. She never really climbs up on stuff, so.
Well, good.
Yeah. So, on that note, that is it for this episode. We are done. We are finished.
Yes! All my Gundams have come in. All my Gundam models, by the way.
Oh, Lord.
They're all in, and it was $400 almost for three of them.
Oh, my God.
And I can't. Yeah, each one of them was around $100 or so dollars. One was $150-ish, one was $120-ish, and the other was $95.
Damn. I can't say anything because I spent $400 on a fucking memory card for my Xbox.
Oh, Jesus, but fucking hippie nipples. I got a 2 terabyte hard drive for my Xbox, and it cost me like $60.
That's because you have just a normal external hard drive. I bought that SSD memory card.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That thing.
No wonder it was so much.
That thing is expensive as a motherfucker.
Yeah. Don't you just love
Lugga, sure, but what about Rock Band? All my Rock Band stuff is on my Series S, not my Series X. I have a separate system. That. Well, I could, but I have a separate system specifically for Rock Band because having that much content slows the machine down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. What you need is like a 5 terabyte Xbox to store all your Rock Band shit on.
No, it doesn't matter. It's not the size. It's the number of files that makes the system sluggish. It doesn't matter if I have it on the Series X, the Series S, the Xbox One. It doesn't matter. It runs like shit. Every single system that I've had my Rock Band content on has run like shit because the system can't handle that much content.
Well, has it gotten better with the new ones because the SSD? At all? Not at all. Damn.
Loading in game is better. It's just the actual dashboard performance. The OS can't handle it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny.
They shouldn't have sold so much shit. Or you really need to, you know, figure out what in that you actually like. And
that's why I have a separate system just for Rock Band. So it doesn't fuck with my normal console.
Baby.
So yeah, we keep having tangents. I'm just gonna end the show. So good night.
Hasta la vista, baby. I'll be back.